Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the things that Jesus said to us is sometimes troubling words. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Yes.
And I think many people who come to Christ think all the trouble is just going to be wiped out. You know, they're never going to have a sinful thought. They're never going to have an evil desire. Just life from that point forward is going to be smooth sailing, just nothing but good stuff. But that's not the way it is for believers in this world. Jesus said, we are going to have trouble. Everyone has trouble. That's just the way of this world. But we can be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world.
Yes.
He's our hope. He's our confidence. He's the one in whom we trust. And so we need to really recognize that. And I think Peter probably took some of those words and really those words helped shape some of the things that he wrote to us in his first two letters. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 4, first three verses, Peter wrote this, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body. You know, Christ suffered in his body. I mean, he, for goodness sakes, was the son of God.
Uh-huh.
I mean, God's most beloved son, whom was sent into this world so that we could have everlasting life. And yet he suffered in his body. He died. He took upon himself the sins of this world. And the world treated him so unjustly, so unfairly, so inhumane. It was the most evil of times when those nails pierced through his arms and his legs, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, and darkness covered the land. It was evil just unleashed, and Jesus suffered at those hands. But he says, arm yourselves with the same attitude. If we are believers in this world, if we're bearing the very image of Christ in this world, we're going to suffer just as he suffered. And he goes on to say, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. We have been crucified to that old way of life. Our old man was crucified. We've put that old life behind us, and we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's where we find meaning and purpose and contentment and all those things our hearts so desperately long for. We found them in Jesus. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God.
Yes.
If we're going to have anything to say to this world, if we're going to show forth the gospel as a relevant message, then we have to understand that our life is to be lived for the will of God, not for our own pleasures, our own earthly desires, our own sinful desires. That's how we used to live. We've been saved from that so that we can live in the newness of life. What is that newness of life? It is living the rest of our earthly lives for the will of God. And then he says this, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. You've spent enough time doing that. I mean, if you like to carouse and drink and all of those sort of things, you've spent enough time doing it. Whether it was one day, a week, 10 years, 25 years, if you've come to Christ, that stuff's in the past. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. All that's behind you. Let it stay there.
Yes.
Live in this newness of life. Live for the will of God. That's what this gospel message is all about. That's the freedom that we have to choose the will of God over anything the world holds out and says, here, take a look at this. We can say, been there, done that, we've got the t-shirt, we're ready to move on to bigger and better things, and that's life in Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We certainly welcome you to the broadcast today. If there's something on your mind that you would like to discuss, we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. We're going to start today in Staten Island, New York, and talk to our friend Vincent, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
Doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm good. I'm confused on whether we choose Christ or Christ chooses us. It says many times in the Bible that faith comes by hearing and judgment comes to those who deny Christ. But in Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 7, it says that God chose us before the world began. Can you give me some clarity on that?
Well, Vincent, let's use a word, initiate, and let's kind of frame this gospel message in terms of who initiates and who responds. The most famous verse of all is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sent his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So this whole gospel message, this whole rescue plan that God has put into place was initiated by whom?
By God.
By God. So he acted on our behalf. So in essence, his act to send Jesus was a choice, wasn't it?
Yep.
He was choosing to save us by faith in Christ. That's how he chose to save us, by faith in Christ. Okay? He initiated that. And when that rescue mission kind of hits our hearts, that gospel message, it produces in us a response of faith. Hey, I didn't know that the rescue mission was possible. I may not even known that I needed to be saved. But when that gospel message hit my heart, those needs became clear. And here standing before me was my rescuer. And so I simply respond to him and let him save me, so to speak. So he initiates, we respond. It's that by grace through faith plan. Okay, it's not just by grace, it's by grace through faith. Does that make sense to you, Vincent?
Sure it does.
Okay. So the choosing to save us was God's choice. He made that choice abundantly clear by sending Jesus. That choice can overwhelm us so much that we respond in faith. That's how it works.
Okay.
Pretty plain, pretty simple, isn't it?
Sure. Just explain Ephesians 1, 4 through 7 to me then.
Well, again, if you look at the word choice, there's some things that are attached to that word. It doesn't say he just chose me. He chose me for something. Okay? Do you see that?
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. So what did... To those who come to Christ by faith, what did God choose for them?
Right. See how one word can change the whole context of the verse.
That's right. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So he chose us before the creation of the world, or he chose before the creation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless in his sight because of the work of Christ. He predestined that we would be adopted as sons and daughters of Christ. So those are the things that he chose. Those are the things that he predestined. And by grace, through the work of Jesus, he's brought those things into being.
Amen.
It's good news, isn't it?
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Sure is. The best of news.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, Vincent, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate the question. A lot of times we get bogged down with predestination because we think of it in terms of individuals.
Uh-huh.
And we forget, you know, like we talked about with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So he had Gentiles and Jews in mind before the world was even created.
Yes, he did.
He knew that he was going to call a man named Abraham. He knew that through Abraham's seed, the world would be blessed. Who is that seed? That's Jesus. Who is the world? Well, it's made up of both Jew and Gentile.
Uh-huh.
So this gospel goes forth to the Jewish people, to the Gentile people. Right now, it seems to be predominantly the age of the Gentiles, although there's a remnant of Jews uh-huh. being saved. It's going to circle back to the Jewish people at a point in time, but that's all a part of his plan that both Jew and Gentile could be saved through faith or by grace through faith in Jesus.
Uh-huh.
So anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So when we look at some of these great chapters where the word predestination is found, for example, Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3,
yes.
and also Romans 9, 10, 11. Those are the six chapters that really talk about predestination. It is always talked about in terms of Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
A Jewish person would have never believed in a million years that a Gentile could be saved in the same way that they had been saved. A Jew never thought in a million years that a Gentile would be given the gift of God's Holy Spirit. But that was always God's purpose and plan in Jesus, to save Jew and Gentile in exactly the same way and put those two people groups together as one in the body of Christ. That's the message. And we see that becomes one of the most incredibly unifying messages you can ever read in the Word of God.
Yes.
Any other way of looking at it brings division.
Yeah, it does.
If you've ever talked to somebody about predestination, how does that conversation normally end? 99.99% of the time. Does it end in love and charity and kindness and gentleness and all of those things? No, by the end of it, you're about ready to punch each other in the face. You're accusing each other of not being saved. And all of those sort of things, some of the most hateful, angry conversations that ever occur on this planet occur around this subject of predestination. God did not talk about predestination to divide people. He talked about it to bring unity so that we can see that Jew and Gentile are meant to be together as one in Christ. That was God's choice. That's what he's predestined. That's what he's bringing about in Jesus. It's one of the most miraculous, most incredible plans we could ever, ever, ever tap into. It's a wisdom far beyond what we could ever dream up on our own, and yet God is making it happen in Christ. So Jew is seen in Christ as holy and blameless. Gentile is seen in Christ as holy and blameless, and the two have now become one. That was predestined, and God is bringing it about in Christ.
That's good news.
Best news ever. 1-844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Again, that number and several open lines, 844-322-2742. Let's go out to Palo Alto, California, and talk with Doreen, listening to us on KDIA. And, Richard, this is close to your old stomping grounds,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, I lived out there for quite a while.
Yeah. So, Doreen, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. How about you?
Good, thank you. About a week and a half or two ago, somebody had called in about tithes and offering, and I was listening, but I couldn't get the whole gist of it. So I'm calling today to see if you could kind of explain the tithes and the offering, because some people are thinking Old Testament, it's not for the New Testament. Give what you're supposed to, give what you feel, 10% off your gross of your salary. So if somebody could just kind of please explain that to me, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, Doreen, we'll be glad to do that. And after the call, I'll put you on hold, and we've got some information that we can send you about New Covenant giving. And that's where I want to start, Doreen, as far as this conversation is concerned. There was an Old Covenant, and that Old Covenant was between God and the people of Israel. Within that Old Covenant, he, took one of the brothers of the 12, Levi, and he appointed him and his offspring to serve as priests within that Old Covenant. They were prohibited from owning land, any of those things that the other 12 were going to get in the land. So to take care of Levi and his bloodline and the priest, God instituted for the people of Israel tithing. He said, I want you to bring your tithes into the storehouses, and those food substances, grain and cattle and all of that, would be used not only in the religious life of the people, they would be there for sacrifices that were going to be made in the temple on a regular basis, but they would also provide food for the Levites. That's how God took care of his priest back in the day. Well, that old covenant ended at Jesus. He died, and he fulfilled that old covenant, and through his blood, he ratified a brand new covenant. In this new covenant, Jesus Christ serves as the high priest. And as the writer of Hebrews says, whenever there's a change of priesthood, there's a change of the law. So that old covenant was fulfilled. Now we live in a new covenant. In this new covenant, we are encouraged to excel, and I think that's the operative word here, to excel in the grace of giving. So God's Spirit, Doreen, is going to be working inside of our hearts and inside of our lives to move us to give of our resources to advance the gospel message and to meet the needs of those around us. He doesn't put a percentage on that, so it could be 5%, it could be 25%. It's whatever God is doing in your life. So it's not one of those things you just give what you feel like. You give in response to what God's Spirit is working inside of you.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because I've been to a couple of churches, and they're really kind of hung up on the 10%. I mean, and I guess that's okay, but some, from myself, I give beyond my 10% and see a need and meet a need and to help and to do, throughout, not only in your church, but in your neighborhood, so on and so forth. So I really appreciated this explanation. I truly do.
Well, you're welcome, Doreen. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some resources that we have that talk about New Covenant giving. Once you read through and listen through, call us back. We would love to hear more from you, okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Doreen. You hang on, my friend. Let's go to Clifton, New Jersey, and talk to Jean listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I love the show. I like that you're very basic, and you just tell it like it is and very simplified. I'm wondering about the Lord. Like he says, he knows the beginning and the end. He knew us before the foundations of the world. I'm trying to comprehend that. I know he's God, but I need more of an explanation or understanding.
Well, I was going to say, when you come to an understanding of that, could you inform everybody else? Because that's one of those things that we all struggle with. Our minds are finite.
Right.
We are bound by time and space, and it's very hard for our minds to get outside of that time-space continuum. But God is not bound by that. He was before time existed. And so he can stand outside of that and see all things. Some of the ways people have tried to explain it, say you're up in a helicopter and you see a train, looking down on it, you can see the engine, and you can see the caboose, and you can see every car in between those two. But if you're at a train stop, you just see the car right in front of you. You can't see the whole train at once.
Right.
So it's a different perspective. So we as people are in that car at the train stop. God is in that helicopter above it all, seeing everything from beginning to end. He also describes himself, Gene, as the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. That's who Jesus Christ is. So again, it's just another description of God to let us know that he is totally outside. He is not bound by time and space.
And people who leave this earth, they're not bound by time and space neither, right?
That there's an eternal, it talks about eternal life, and you're exactly right. They're going to have an eternal existence at that point.
They go into, but they don't have a body, so does God clothe them with something, a form, or?
Well, Gene, and that's the great hope that we have in Christ, is that one day we are going to get new bodies. And their bodies that aren't going to die, just like Jesus.
About before the resurrection, temporary, does it give them something temporary? Because they're a spirit.
Well, all we know is that when somebody is absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. And so we don't know what form that is. In our time-space continuum, we would say they're probably a disembodied spirit. They're just a spirit soul in the presence of God waiting for their resurrection body.
Yeah.
From an eternal standpoint, everything's already happened, hasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, so again, how do we combine those two? And what we know is time and space, and so we're limited on how we can communicate. And so we tend to communicate in terms of time and space. When we get to go and be with the Lord, Gene, we're going to know everything. And we will have these questions answered, and it's going to be a great time, isn't it?
Yeah. You have all your faculties and everything up there, right?
Oh, my goodness, Gene. They will be a million-fold, more sharp than they are today. Our sight and our sound and our senses will be so keen to the reality of God. It's just going to blow us away.
Right. Okay.
Well, Gene, thank you so much for your call. We sure appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of a book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think you'll really enjoy it. Would love to put it in your hands. You hang on, okay?
All right.
Love those questions.
Yes.
Those are fun to talk through. And, everybody asks those questions. What's going to happen to us after we die? You know, whether you're religious, whether you have any faith, whether you're agnostic, whether you're atheistic, that's a question you ask. Is there any afterlife? We want to know that. And the only way that we're going to know things or to have any sense of what's going to happen is to see the truth of God as revealed to us in Jesus. In Jesus, we have all the answers that we need, and we have the hope that can anchor our souls while we're still here. That's why this gospel is the most important message that's ever been given. And we certainly thank all of those who stand with us and support, both prayerfully and financially, to help get this good news out to as many people as possible. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.